The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon. Get ready for Leadership Leverage with Dr. Robert Denker. No matter what role you play in leadership of your organization or business, you are sure to get helpful secrets that will improve that role. Now here's your host, Dr. Robert Denker.
Hello, good day, and welcome to Leadership Leverage. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Denker, and today on Leadership Leverage, we'll be exploring the topic of leadership from a unique perspective. That is, we'll be gaining an understanding of how endings are a natural part of business and life, and why endings aren't failures, but necessary opportunities for creating something better. Whether it's a career choice, a personal relationship, or a business venture that isn't working, it's essential to know when and how to let go. To help us navigate this journey today, our guest has the knowledge to help all of us gain a better understanding into this special competency, a competency that clearly sets apart leaders who are effective from those that aren't. I'm referring to the distinguished and popular Dr. Henry Cloud. Dr. Cloud is a psychologist, communicator, and leadership coach who brings a unique perspective to his speaking and writing. As the author of many best-selling books, his writing reflects experience not only in the clinical world, but in the arenas of business and leadership consulting as well. Henry is the co-host of a nationally syndicated radio show called New Life Live, which is heard in over 150 markets in a weekly audience estimated at 2 million listeners. In addition, he has appeared on numerous television and radio networks, including ABC News, Fox News, Fox Business Network, PBS, and has contributed to many national magazines and publications. He has written or co-written 20 books, including over the 200 million seller book entitled Boundaries. And his most recent book entitled Necessary Endings is the focus of our dialogue here today on Leadership Leverage. Henry, welcome to Leadership Leverage. I'm delighted to have you here.
Robert, but I gotta say one thing. I wish it were true that Boundaries had sold 200 million copies. I don't think that's ever been done in
publishing. Oh no, did I say that? 2 million?
It's more like two, I think, which is not a bad number. But I was going, wow, 200 million copies for one book. That's pretty good.
Oh no, I'm sorry, I didn't even hear me say that. I mean. Really, Henry, as an author, you've been outstanding, particularly with the Boundaries book and your latest book here that we're going to be talking about, Necessary Endings, I think is going to be another huge seller in the marketplace. And that's part of the reason why I'm delighted to have you on the show today, because I discovered your book and found the topic of this book, again, called Necessary Endings, extremely interesting. Because it's something that I think all leaders wrestle with to do this correctly. And I found it fascinating because, in a sense, you begin the book with a very interesting statement. And you write, today may be the enemy of your tomorrow. And I wonder if you can say more about this to our listeners.
Well, it's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to unpack that. Because I work with mainly, you know, pretty high performing kinds of people, like CEOs and executive teams, you know, some of like, you know, $20 billion entities with 50,000 employees. I mean, these are people that have to think about tomorrow all the time.
Yet
what we find is that even in high performers, sometimes they, for whatever reason, they get attached to something that they're doing and it's not working, or they don't recognize that something that they're doing that is working may actually be getting to the getting close to its life cycle, or you know that season's about to be over, or they're attached to a person, you know, that is an employee or some other kind of relationship, and they're not performing, and they're still pouring time and energy into these things and not realizing that if they don't cut some of this stuff loose, they're going to lose whatever tomorrow should be for them.
And that's interesting because we see that every day in the work that we do. It, you know, in your book, you use what I'm going to term a very beautiful and also a very powerful metaphor of a rose bush. Can you explain this, and in particular, how those in leadership roles could apply this metaphor in a way that helps them move forward?
Yeah, you know, I looked for a simple metaphor to describe what we're talking about with necessary endings. And if you think about that title for a minute, you know, we have endings all the time. Projects end, relationships end, you know, football games end. There's a lot of stuff that ends. But a necessary ending actually means if I'm going to get to what I want to have happen in any aspect of life, it's necessary that I stop doing something that I'm currently invested in. In other words, a good word for that would be I've got to prune it out of the company, or I got to prune it out of the organization, or I got to prune it out of my plan or out of my product line or out of my life. And so the metaphor of pruning, I think, is a great one, because if you talk to a gardener, and you know, some of these people are incredible at what they can get a rosebush to actually become.
Oh, they are.
But rosebushes don't do that on their own.
No.
Right? They've got to require, or they require a lot of focus, and specifically in three ways. The first clip that a gardener makes to prune a rosebush is that the rosebush produces more buds than it can sustain. So it's got a lot of healthy buds and healthy branches, but they're not the best ones. And what the gardener will do is look at all those buds and find the best ones, and they'll prune the rest of them for one reason, so the best buds can have all the resources of the vine or the bush. And once they do that, then the best ones really begin to thrive even more because they're getting all that attention from, you know, the minerals and the water and all the stuff that flows through the bush.
Sure.
Well, the second instance that they prune is when they look at a branch or buds or whatever that are sick and aren't going to get well. And they've tried everything. They've added fertilizer, and they've poisoned the bugs, and on and on. But they realize this one's just not going to get with it, and so they clip it because they need, again, they need the resources, and it's infecting the rest of the bush. And then the third instance is there's a bunch of them that have been, you know, long since dead and are just taking up space. And if you look at a business, for example, that is a great metaphor for a CEO or an executive team or other leaders to sit down, and you can just go through the different columns. You know, what if they looked at their product lines and said, you know, this is good, you know, it might be making money, it might still be alive, but really it's not where we really ought to be focusing. It's not the best thing we have going. And if we clipped this, if we pruned it, we would have those resources, you know, the time and the money and the people to really apply to what has a future. And then they look at the ones that, you know, they hadn't been performing for a long time and they're not doing well, and we need to clip those, and on and on. And then they can do that with people. And what I find is that leaders that are able to do this are the ones that really create things and grow. And the ones that get stuck and aren't able to execute the endings are the ones that get stuck.
And that's interesting, because I sit here and listen to you, and it's very, in a sense, uplifting and empowering to take a look at this metaphor and think about, well, how do we make this rosebush or company grow better, become healthier?
Yeah, it really does. You know, when you get into the concept, I've never ever talked about this with people, either in a, you know, a large setting or a small setting where something didn't awaken inside of them where they thought, you know what, that's exactly what I need to do. There's this one thing that's been draining, you know, it's not what I want to spend my time on, or this one person that should have been gone a year ago. And once people kind of become aware of it and realize, you know, I'm spending all I really have here, and that's time and energy and other resources. I'm spending it on something that really is not what I want tomorrow to look like.
That's right. And Henry, when you work with these executive teams, do you find a certain category that's tougher for them to come to terms with? Is it the product category where they've got products that maybe they were instrumental in helping bring to market or even invent? Or is it the people side of the equation? Or,
you know, that's a really good question. And I would have to say that it kind of depends on almost the personality of the leader. You know, if you look at, for example, you know, the big three automakers, like really in the downturn, you know, they all went through a lot of pruning, right?
And if
you take GM, for example, when they went through bankruptcy, there were some brands like Pontiac that did not come out the other side. They got pruned.
That's right.
Now, if you look at Pontiac, it's the – and I this may not be exactly right. I started to say I think the last time it actually made money was like in the 60s. But if that's not true, it is true that that was –
It was a long time ago with their GTO
the
and that.
It's been downhill ever since. Yeah. So you got five decades of leadership holding on to a brand that is just not doing anything. And you've got to say, okay, it's not probably the people, because, you know, they could have sent the people down the hall to, you know, Buick or something else. There, somebody's really invested emotionally in that idea, that brand, that product, the history, and people do really kind of get emotionally tied to ideas, and they get tied to brands, and they get tied to stuff that really was yesterday and has nothing to do with tomorrow, but they can't let go. And then other people, like you've said, it's really about the people. You know, they think, if I let this person go, it's going to wreck their life, or I'm doing something mean, or, you know, maybe I can fix them. And you got a lot of people out there that are fixers, and they think they can fix anybody. And it's just not true.
That's right. Henry, we need to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you more about this aspect of leadership, of why it's difficult for leaders to let go, because I think you've got some wonderful insights into that. But let's take a commercial break. You're listening to Leadership Leverage here on Voice America Business. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Since the year 2000, RDN Partners have been helping client organizations across North America and Europe achieve breakthrough performance by providing practical solutions for talent identification, talent development, and improved team performance. Our services include executive coaching and onboarding, sales selection tools, validated to predict sales success, web-based pre-employment and development assessments for executive, managerial, supervisory and professional positions, talent reviews and team coaching, as well as competency modeling, including web-based custom 360 surveys. At RDN Partners, we don't arrive with ready-made solutions. Our service offerings have to fit the context of every aspect of your company, its markets, competitors, strategy, and culture. Please contact us today at rdpusa.com or by calling 888-600-7457. We look forward to helping you be successful by building and retaining your high-performance talent.
Ready to get your business started with a flying leap? Tune in to the Startup Business Coach Show with the startup business coach himself, Dr. Dwayne D. Jakes. Dr. Jakes is the author of Top 10 Fail-Proof Ways Startup Businesses Can Succeed in a Floundering Global Economy. At each program, Dr. Jakes and his guest experts will explain the concepts of organizational development and provide examples designed to maximize your ROI. The Startup Business Coach Show broadcasts live every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Leadership Leverage with your host, Dr. Robert Danker. If you have a question or comment about today's program for Dr. Danker or his guests, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or if you prefer, send an email to info@rdpusa.com. Now back to Leadership Leverage.
Welcome back to Leadership Leverage. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Danker. And if you're enjoying what you're learning today on Leadership Leverage, we encourage you to go to our site at www.rdpusa.com to learn more about what we offer in the areas of leadership development, web-based selection and development tools, and executive coaching services. Today on our show, we've been talking to Dr. Henry Cloud, distinguished consultant and author, about his latest book entitled Necessary Endings. Henry, before break, we were discussing why certain leaders have difficulty coming to terms with creating endings. We were talking about how you see this in your work, executives that find it difficult to pull a particular product or brand off from the marketplace, and other leaders, of course, who have the similar problem when it comes to their talent. And I wonder if you could talk to us a little bit about why this is. I know that in your book you write about a concept that you call normalizing endings.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you could talk about what you mean here and then provide some strategies on how leaders can embrace this concept to be able to do endings more effectively.
Well, it's kind of interesting. It's almost like you, when you're out there in the field and in the war rooms with these folks, you see that there's almost two kinds of leaders. You know, one kind is they have it in the software of their head that life and work, you know, has seasons and there are life cycles, and they recognize that sometimes, you know, something season is past and it's time to move on. And they are just absolutely have no conflict, you know, in doing that. And same thing with people. They evaluate performance, they evaluate teams, and they look at something, they go, you know what, this just is not the right group in there that's going to be able to do this. And endings are a perfectly normal thing. They kind of see that as part of what they do. And then you go over to the other camp, and there are people that stall out, and they run into something that's not working, and they think, you know, gosh, if it's not working, then I ought to be able to change it, I ought to be able to fix it, I ought to be able to rescue it. And to shut it down, gosh, that would be failure or, you know, something that's really bad to let somebody go or, you know,
right.
Anything like that. And their mind actually registers it as, I use the term from neuroscience in the book, it registers it as an error. And what happens is if our mind registers something as an error, you know, it's like if you've ever been in a car that's got one of those auto sensors, when you back up, when you get too close to backing into a car, it starts to beep.
Oh, sure. Right, exactly.
Keep going. Well, that's what happens. They can't execute if they think that what they're about to do, you know, there's something wrong with it. And what I find is that in getting leaders to kind of step up and do what's necessary, they've got to include in their way of looking at life and business is that there are everything has an end. You know, it's always interesting to me because I live in L.A. and the entertainment industry is, you know, sort of all around here.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting to see these incredible shows that they have their run, And it seems like that they will kind of shut them down long before they've lost their audience, right? But
no,
somebody is
right.
sensing that, you know, time for that is over. And you can see this, you know, just everywhere. Since I write books, I'm really in tune with, obviously, the publishing industry. And there are some companies that realized that, you know, books and stores, you know, and the way that we used to read and all of that, you know, it's kind of the writing's on the wall. And there's an ending coming, and they got ahead and said, you know, we're going to get into e-books, and we're going to invent a Kindle, and we're going to make this stuff downloadable. And then other people were way behind the curve on that, and you see the results.
Oh, yeah. I mean, clearly, don't go into the book selling business if you're going to try to open up a retail store. That's not the way
of it. But I'm going to tell you, there are people that their emotional attachments. I will not say the newspaper, but I'll give you an example of this. I shouldn't even say the place I was walking because you guessed the newspaper. But
right.
It's one of the most famous newspapers. I'm walking through this, you know, sort of where there are a lot of outdoor kiosks and stuff, and there's this guy from that publication's got a kiosk set up, and they're kind of, you know, selling blankets and all this stuff with their logo on it. It's a very famous newspaper.
Okay.
And I stopped, and he said, "So do you read our paper?" I said, "Well, I really, really read it when I'm on the road." And he goes, "Oh, well, then you're an avid reader." And I said, "Yeah, I always read it on my iPad." And mm-hmm. the guy I thought was going to strangle me.
Really?
And he said, "The blankety blank blank is not an app. It is a newspaper. And it is meant to be held in your hand and touched and felt and experienced." And I'm thinking, okay, this guy better get with the program. If that's the way the whole company feels, you know, it's going to be history is what it's going to be.
Well, that's right. So how do leaders then embrace some of these strategies to understand that everything has an ending?
Well, I think one of the most important things that I try to get them in touch with, because you've got to get to action, right? You've got mm-hmm. to get them, if they're leading, they got to get to where they pull the trigger. And to get somebody to action, one of the most important things that you've got to do is you've really got to get them in touch with the misery. And I try to get them as close to the misery as possible, because if there's like there's an employee that's not performing or their numbers are bad or whatever, leaders have a way of kind of staying away from stuff like this, and they go look at the happy news, and they want to know about the good things or the things they're energized to do, and they let some of these other problems languish. And so what I try to do is get them very, very close to where the pain is on this, and I have them actually think about, okay, with this employee that, you know, you just had this conversation with for the 63rd time, I want you to think about 1 year from now having this same conversation again. I want you to think about 1 year from now getting these same languishing numbers, you know, on a P&L of this division that you just got. And when you look forward, you start to look into the future. If you don't end this thing, that's what you're signing up for unless something changes. And so I try to get them to really get close to the pain of it and then project that into the future and really take ownership of that. I've even had them sign a document by not making a decision, sign a document that says, okay, I'm agreeing for lackluster results for another 12 months. So they own it.
And now that's funny, but yeah, I think it's effective, right?
You got to break through the dial on this stuff. And then the other thing that I think is equally important is that you've got to get them really in touch with the good side of what they're missing. You know, and the closer you can get them to tasting what could be possible if they would just, you know, put an ending to whatever it is that they need to end of what they could have, that gets motivating as well. And then you start to deal with the resistances, and you get them a plan, and you get them, you know, kind of a change process in place, and they're off and running. But if they're stuck, they're probably not going to do it, you know, on their own.
And so clearly what you're saying is, in a sense, run a movie.
Actually play a movie forward. You know, we are just as humans, we tend to think about, you know, today and this decision But sometimes we don't think about what are the implications of this decision 12 months from now. You know, if I just if you avoid firing this person, what have you really signed up for 12 months from now?
Yeah, what are the implications and what does that mean to my business and what does it mean to others who may be following this leader themselves?
Right.
Okay.
Very, very important concept. You know, I in the book I put the example of Jack Welch when he was leading GE and he took it from, you know, whatever the number it was to this gargantuan, you know, largest market cap, and I mean the stats on what he did was just, you know,
yeah,
everybody
phenomenal,
knows.
Right?
Phenomenal. Well, one of the things that he actually codified was a formula for pruning. You know, when he went there, what he said was he had a map. He didn't call it pruning, but he had a map that basically said if some business unit's not number one or two in its market, we're going to either fix it, shut it down, or sell it. But it's not going to stay here in the form that it's in. It's going to get fixed or pruned. And then he started talking about the levels of bureaucracy that whenever they're showed to, you know, slow down decisions or slow down information getting to the people that need it, he's going to cut those out. And then the most controversial piece of it, you know, is when he said, we're going to always, you know, every year we're going to get rid of the bottom 10% of our performers. And he got a lot of heat for the last one, but in reality, if any company is kind of sort of doing its job, some percentage of people are going to always be going away because that's just, you know, some people don't show up and they don't perform.
Well, that's right.
But what happened was, as a systematic formula or a discipline of going through and looking at what was working and looking at what wasn't, and then doing the necessary endings and making a culture of necessary endings, you know, kind of as mm-hmm. they say, the rest is history.
That's right. And so in essence, Jack Welch was really taking the advice that you provide to our listeners here today and in your book about this pruning aspect, you know, of,
right.
Of making room for the strong buds, of taking care of the sick ones and letting go of those that are dead.
Exactly. And it's just a really good way to think about it. You know, a more recent example would be
Henry, could I ask you to hold this example? Because we need to take another break, but I want to hear it when we come back, because I want to also ask you about the concept of mental maps. You were just referred to Jack Welch in a sense of having a map that he followed, and I'd like you to have the full time of the next segment to do that.
Certainly.
So we need to take a commercial break. We'll be right back here on Leadership Leverage, Voice America Business. Today we're with Dr. Henry Cloud discussing his latest book entitled Necessary Endings. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Entrepreneurial Insights is your weekly excursion into the world of business ownership. Presented by Sunbelt Business Brokers, the leading business brokerage and intermediary firm in the world, Entrepreneurial Insights will examine critical issues that impact both existing and prospective business owners. If you own or want to own a small business, listen for Entrepreneurial Insights with John Davies, Pino Bocchinello, and Matt Ottaway, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Since the year 2000, RD and Partners have been helping client organizations across North America and Europe achieve breakthrough performance by providing practical solutions for talent identification, talent development, and improved team performance. Our services include executive coaching and onboarding, sales selection tools validated to predict sales success, web-based pre-employment and development assessments for executive, managerial, supervisory and professional positions, talent reviews and team coaching, as well as competency modeling, including web-based custom 360 surveys. At RD and Partners, we don't arrive with ready-made solutions. Our service offerings have to fit the context of every aspect of your company, its markets, competitors, strategy, and culture. Please contact us today at rdpusa.com or by calling 888-600-7457. We look forward to helping you be successful by building and retaining your high-performance talent.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Leadership Leverage with your host, Dr. Robert Danker. If you have a question or comment about today's program for Dr. Danker or his guests, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or if you prefer, send an email to info@rdpusa.com. Now back to Leadership Leverage.
Welcome back to Leadership Leverage. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Danker. And today on Leadership Leverage, we've been talking to Dr. Henry Cloud, distinguished consultant and author, about his latest book entitled Necessary Endings, The Employees, Businesses, and Relationships That All of Us Have to Give Up in Order to Move Forward. Henry, before we went on break, we were talking and you had given us a very great example of what happened with GM under the leadership of Jack Welch.
Or GE,
about this issue of understanding these necessary endings, if you were. And you were about to go into yet another example from your experience to share with us.
Well, I was going to give a more recent example from the news, actually, or several of them. You know, I was just walking past Borders, what used to be Borders, the local store, the other day, and I was going to go in there, and I looked up, and it was gone. You know, and then, as we mentioned earlier, in the publishing industry, this is happening a lot. But I was also looking at the changes that happen in media content, and I was thinking in terms of the just the ability to see when something's day is over and move on. I mean, Steve Jobs would be just kind of the poster child for that in a way, because when you look at, I remember, you know, I'm an Apple user, and a few years ago, everyone was coming out with these netbooks, and they wanted Apple to do it, and he kept saying, you know, we don't really want to do that. And it was him and Hahn.
And he did, right.
And what was happening was he was seeing that, you know, there's a new day coming, and they came out with the iPad and basically changed everything, because there was some sense, and he's done this in music, he's done it in a lot of different ways, there's some sense that he has to seeing when a certain season or a certain something has had its life cycle, and tomorrow is going to be different, and an early way of getting there, you know, way before everybody else. And those are the great leaders. You know, another great example, it goes back a few years, but it's the same sort of huge ending decision was when Andy Grove decided that, you know, Intel was not going to be a memory company anymore, that was going to get, you know, commoditized or whatever, and he said, we're going to stop doing memory and start making processors, a total switch. And those are the amazing leaders that in the big way can realize, you know what, we have got to change or we're not going to be here tomorrow.
Well, that's right, and that is another great example. And two, you write in your book about, you know, the aspect of changing and moving forward, and how for many people it's hard to change. It's painful. There's pain involved. And you talk about various mental maps that
right.
each one of us has. And I wonder if you could briefly cover these, but in particular, spend some time about talking about one mental map that I believe that many high-performing people have. And it's a mental map that you define as believing that ending it means I failed.
Yeah, you know, one of the great things that high performers have in common and great leaders have in common is that that word you look to it or that you learned in, you know, way back in elementary school, and stick to it. Perseverance. Never give up. And it's one of the most important things that a leader can have. I remember the phrase stick to it was one of the first things I tried to teach my kids. And what happens with leaders and high performers is that's such a part of their DNA that if something, you know, isn't working and, you know, there's challenges and this, that, and the other, it's just their default position to keep going and persevere and stick to it. When in reality, there are times that they're actually sticking to it down a wrong road, that something really has, you know, the paradigm has shifted, the technology has shifted, or whatever, and it's not a virtue anymore to stick to it and to keep pouring hope into turning this around. The real virtue is to get hopeless and to realize that perseverance and stick to it really should apply to effort and not to a particular commitment. In other words, you're not failing because you decide to shut down this strategy or shut down this product. You would only be failing if you gave up effort altogether. So you withdraw the effort from that, and you retool, and you go down a different road. That's not failure. That's leadership. But some people, it's so in their head to stop something and give up that their mental map says, I fail.
And that's interesting. And, of course, when they do that, I think they become then paralyzed, don't they?
Yeah, because they're just stuck in the mud. You know, you can keep doing the same old thing expecting different results, and that's the definition of crazy. Everybody's heard that. But in business, you really see it all the time.
Henry, what are some of the other mental maps that you see out there that leaders have?
Well, one of the big ones is that, you know, if I do something and make this decision, then, you know, people are going to get hurt, and it's bad to hurt someone. And in reality, in fact, in the book, I tell a story about a woman who got promoted to kind of the number two level in a big company and was going to be responsible for executing the strategy, basically, for the CEO. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, to execute this strategy, there are a lot of people in leadership positions that are going to have to be moved out of leadership and put in different roles because they're really not leaders. And I said, yeah, that happens a lot. And she says, I just don't know what I'm going to do with that. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, one of the guiding maps in my head that I've always had as a leader and a manager is that I want all of our employees on their drive home to really feel good about that day and about the company and really feel positive. And she said, you know, some of these people, when I take them out of leadership roles and they're going to be in other roles, it's going to be an ugly ride home. It's going to be a painful ride home. And I said, well, it sounds like that you think that's a bad thing. She said, well, it is bad to hurt somebody. And I said, have you ever been to the dentist? And she said, of course. And I said, well, how was the ride home? Well, it hurt. Well, of course it hurt. But the reason it hurt was that the dentist was taking care of a problem and actually healing you in the process. So I want you to begin to change that map to, while this might have hurt, it didn't harm you. And people have to get over the fact that thinking that causing some pain sometimes is a bad thing to actually seeing that a lot of times causing pain can be a very healing or helpful thing. You know, if somebody's in a wrong role and they're literally not performing and they're never going to perform and they're a drain on the team, everybody already knows that. And you do that person a favor to find the right role for them where they can thrive and work in their gifts and work in their abilities.
Well, that's right.
And we really do people a disservice a lot of times when we're not helping them to you know, find where they ought to be. Much less, as a leader, your stewardship of the business is always, you know, kind of the thing you got to worry about that these stuck places are getting in the way of.
Mm-hmm. You know, Henry, thinking about the story you just told about the woman who was in charge of executing the strategy for the CEO, it takes me back, in a sense, to the rosebush metaphor. because I think to be effective, a leader has to be aware, first of all, that the rose bush needs to be pruned. But in order to do that, they have to have a vision of what this rose bush ought to look like, correct?
Exactly, because you got to prune towards something.
That's right.
And he or she has got to know what a healthy bud looks like and what the rose looks like that, that they're trying to achieve. And so sometimes you do have to kind of ask a leader, well, you know, what is it you're actually trying to build here? What do you want this thing to look like? I was working with a CEO just last week who was talking about strategy and talking about, you know, strategic kind of planning and this, that, and the other, and kind of laying out the next year. And I asked him, let me ask you something. What do you want this place to look like a year from now?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I want it to be transformational, you know, in the industry and all this sort of words. And I said, okay, define that for me. What's that really going to look like? What are the people going to look like? What are they going to be working on? What percentage are going to be devoted to the way you define transformation and all these kind of specifics? And once I ask him those questions, you know, to get a little before or a little below these adjectives that he would just
right.
throw out there, then he started to say, you know, I can see that maybe planning this thing just incrementally in terms of, you know, we need to get a few more percentage points out of this division or this product line or, you know, whatever. A year from now, I'm going to have an incremental business, aren't I? I said,
that's
yeah,
right.
You are. And so once he started to think about what he really wanted it to look like and feel like and be doing and accomplishing specifically, then he has something to prune towards, because then he could say, you know what, this division really doesn't add anything to that vision a year from now. Or this person doesn't really add anything to that vision a year from now. He or she needs to be recast. So you're right, the vision and actually what you're trying to prune towards is the first step.
And what a great story that is. Henry, we need to take another commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about how leaders can have some of these necessary ending conversations when it comes to talent. So let's do that when we come back from this commercial break. You're listening to Leadership Leverage here on Voice America Business. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Denker, and our guest today is Dr. Henry Cloud. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Are you looking to soar with the eagles instead of being grounded with the turkeys? Why not have a gorilla help you out? Listen every week for Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl with host Joby Dixon. Joby has made a living out of helping organizations and individuals become more creative, inventive, and innovative. The show closely parallels Joby's book of the same name. It'll include the process to innovate, how to rewire your brain for creativity, exercises, case studies, and more. Tune in to Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Business.
Since the year 2000, RDN Partners have been helping client organizations across North America and Europe achieve breakthrough performance by providing practical solutions for talent identification, talent development, and improved team performance. Our services include executive coaching and onboarding, sales selection tools, validated to predict sales success, web-based pre-employment and development assessments for executive, managerial, supervisory and professional positions, talent reviews and team coaching, as well as competency modeling, including web-based custom 360 surveys. At RDN Partners, we don't arrive with ready-made solutions. Our service offerings have to fit the context of every aspect of your company, its markets, competitors, strategy, and culture. Please contact us today at rdpusa.com or by calling 888-600-7457. We look forward to helping you be successful by building and retaining your high-performance talent.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Leadership Leverage with your host, Dr. Robert Danker. If you have a question or comment about today's program for Dr. Danker or his guests, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or if you prefer, send an email to info@rdpusa.com. Now back to Leadership Leverage.
Leadership Leverage. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Danker. And today on Leadership Leverage, we've been talking to Dr. Henry Cloud, distinguished consultant and author, about his latest book entitled Necessary Endings. Henry, before we went on commercial break, I wanted you to talk a little bit about how leaders can have conversations about necessary endings. And I know that in your book, you referenced Peter Drucker a few times, and in one spot you said that Peter Drucker said this. He said that leaders make life and death decisions, and he was referring to the management of talent within organizations. And so given today's economy, which is, although has some, how does a leader deal when they have to terminate someone? How do they have this conversation?
Can I ask you to repeat that, Robert? I lost you there in the middle of the question there for a second.
Oh, that's all right. I was saying that, you know, you have written in your book and referenced that of Peter Drucker. And Peter Drucker said that leaders make life and death decisions. And he was referring to the management of talent within organizations. So I was wondering, given today's economy, which is still improving, it's still not great, but it's chugging along, getting a little bit better. How does a leader have these conversations when they have to terminate someone?
Yeah.
In other words, how do they shape this to deal with perhaps a necessary ending to make sure that indeed it ends well?
Well, I think that's one of the toughest things, you know, for any leader that is human, right, and that has a human side to them. And I think the very first thing that they've got to do is, before they have anything to do with the employee or the termination or any of that, I think the very first thing that they've got to do is they've got to get in touch with inside of them their care for the person. Because if they really are in touch with that, then what's going to happen is that they are going to walk through that process in a very different way than if they weren't, obviously, you know, the way they treat the person. But the other thing that's going to help them if they do that is they're going to recognize, you know what, I'm not doing this because I'm being mean, and I'm not doing this because I don't care, because they're very much in touch with how much they care about the person. I'm doing this because it's necessary for the business. It's necessary for, you know, perhaps survival of the business, or, you know, a number of other really good reasons. So that's the very first thing that they have to do. Now, the other thing that is pre-work along these lines is that if you are a leader out there and you haven't come to that point where you've got to terminate somebody or, you know, have layoffs or any of that, the best thing that you can do along the way right now is to be building the best connection and the best degree and equity of trust you have with your people as possible. Because then when that day comes, it's going to happen out of a much different soil than somebody that's never talked to them. I remember talking to a CEO one time, and he was just really kind of, you know, downcast because he had to do some layoffs, and he said, you know, the layoffs were really hard, but one of them was awful. And I said, what happened? He said, I laid this guy off today, and the guy told me, he said, you know what, I don't really mind getting laid off. That's part of business. It happens at some point in everybody's career. He said, what I really mind is that I've been here 2 years, and this is the first time you've ever really sat down and talked to me.
Oh, wow.
And that gets really important in this stuff because, you know, the soil, again, the soil upon which this moment falls is something that you're building all along the way. So having said that, I think what's really important is that I love the idea, and there's a chapter in the book called No More Mr. Bad Guy or something like that, The mm-hmm. Magic of Self-Selection. And what that means is that in one sense, and now this isn't, you know, obviously exactly 100% right, but it's a good way to think about it. In one sense, we almost shouldn't ever have to lay anybody off. We should actually have it in a way that our standards do that, and the person self-selects whether or not they want to live up to those standards and descriptions and requirements. And if you've got certain standards of performance and they're very clear and you've been working with a person and you're saying, you know, what I need in this position are this and this and this and this and this, and whoever's going to sit in that chair is going to have this and this and this and perform in this and this way, I would like for that to be you. Mm-hmm. And so I want to see, you know, if you're able to or willing to do that, and if you are, then you're going to be sitting in that chair. But if not, then that's totally up to you. And when you have a culture where people realize that to a large degree, now I understand, you know, bad things happen in economies and recessions and all that, but if the culture is one where people know that in some ways they are self-selecting by doing what everybody's agreed that everybody's going to do, then that gives a different component to this as well. So then when it does come time to lay somebody off for either the business reasons or performance reasons, it's happening in a much different way than if you don't have those things in place. Then I think it's very important that you know, as a leader, when you go into that conversation, you're going to start with affirming the person and, you know, your relationship that you've been building and your hope for them and concern for them and all the things you're going to do in the, you know, in the transition process, if that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. And I would be very, very frank with them, and it should be a continuation of conversations that you've already been having. You know, we've talked about this over the last, you know, 6 months, and I talked about, you know, if this didn't happen or this didn't change or whatever, well, we're kind of at that day now, and it's just it's not a surprise, and that's the big deal, that it should not be a surprise. And then you've got to go in there clear about what you want the outcome to be. Do you want this to be a squishy ending where you leave the door open, or do you want it to be a very firm ending where they know there's absolutely no future relationship, don't call me in a year, that kind of thing? Because people are really bad about that.
Well, they are. And again, I think this gets back to what you just said. It comes from a different soil, a soil that's built on trust and openness. And what I'm hearing you say is really have clarity in what the expectations are and communicate that.
And do it in a way where, you know, if you think about kind of the parallel railroad tracks of that you want to be kind and you want to be honest. And what people tend to do is get on one side of the track or the other, and if they're feeling really kind, they kind of aren't that direct and aren't that honest about all the real reasons that the person actually needs to hear. And the other way thing is true, sometimes if they get over on the honest side, then they're pretty brutal in how they say it. And so it's very important to try to keep those together.
That's true. Henry, I've got one final question, and we've got about a minute left here in the program. But I'm wondering, for those listeners who are just emerging as leaders in their organizations, they're just starting to contribute in a leadership role, what advice do you have for them?
Well, in terms of these kinds of things, I would begin to look at just yourself first as a leader, and begin to look at just the pruning model of of what are you doing in your current responsibilities, in your current role, in what you're having lead and be responsible for, and look at those three things. What are you doing that's good, but it's really not the best use of your time or your energy, and it's not the best, you know, strategies and products and people and all that sort of stuff. It may be fine, but it's not the best. And begin to think about, you know, doing some pruning there. And then the second and third thing as well, where the second was what's really sick and not going to get well. The more you can learn early on to be a decisive leader that does not allow things to languish, then you're gonna really get the respect of the people on your teams, and you're going to have a much cleaner and forward-moving culture and teams and things that you're building than if you're the ones that let, you know, kind of a toothache remain for a couple of years so everybody has to chew on the other side of their mouth. That's just not what a good leader does. And then I would begin to look at some of the mental maps we talked about, you know, earlier that are in the book, and right, clear those out of your head.
Henry, outstanding advice. And again, as I began the program today, I'm delighted that to have you on, and delighted that you said yes to be here on Leadership Leverage and discuss your new book, Necessary Endings. If people want to find out more about Necessary Endings and the other work that you do, contact you how?
Oh, probably the easiest way is just go to drcloud.com, D-R-C-L-O-U-D. .com, and it's pretty much all there.
Excellent. Henry, again, thank you for being on Leadership Leverage, and thank all the listeners for listening as well. And until next time, I'm your host, Dr. Robert Denker, and the doctor is out.
Thank you again for tuning in to Leadership Leverage this afternoon. Please tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Leadership Leverage with Dr. Robert Denker on the Voice America Business Channel.